Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Jillian Morgan, Aaron Layton,
Ghost,
Andrew Gray, Casey McCain, Crystal Trujillo, Emmy, Jeanette Murphy, Enza, Jen Robinson, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate, Kiki Newton, Stanton, and Valerie. Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a special edition. This is one of our movies chosen by one of our hallowed patrons.
Praise be to them.
Ms. Jen has chosen that we watch the movie Evolution from 2001 and the humor that has stayed in 2001 and some of it. I watched it this morning. Steve, what about you?
I also watched it this morning.
Yes. Haven't seen this movie since circa 2002 or three, I would imagine. I'm sure I watched it a few times. I would have been in middle school when this came out, so I'm sure I fucking loved it.
Yeah, I would have been 14 or 15.
What was your take this time? What's your experience with Evolution, if any, and what was your take this go around?
This was one of those movies that my family had this on DVD. Uh-huh. I don't know for whom. I just remember we had those like little wired racks. It was just like one little rack and the DVDs would just like slot into the different spaces, but it was like a tall, maybe like 4 foot tall thing.
I had one of those recently. I gave the set to my friend to hold his video games.
Oh, that would work.
I have too many Blu-rays for those to be apropos.
Yeah. Well, I remember it was always there. And I think it was a movie that my mom purchased because my mom, in the early 2000s, my mom only watched like three things. She watched Hogan's Heroes. Mm-hmm. She watched The Replacements starring Keanu Reeves.
That's a good ass movie.
And there was another one that I'm totally blanking on it. I think it was a Mel Gibson movie, but like
Apocalypto.
big Apocalypto, man.
What Women Want?
She had that movie. Yeah, she did own that. She liked Mel Gibson back in the day.
Yeah. I was a big Melly. I was sure a big Melly fan.
Yeah, who wasn't? You know, until we found out the things. but I remember. So I remember watching this. I definitely saw this movie circa 2001, 2002. I did not remember hardly anything about it before today. I think the one joke I remember is there's an alien halfway through that has a butt and Orlando Jones.
No, that's at the end, the climax. Yeah. Well, you're talking about the actual
cheeks
on the head.
Yeah. Like, look at that ass.
Theater in the round.
Theater in the round. Yeah. I remember that about it, but
Who's that remind you of? Everything else.
Julianne Moore.
There's a lot of misogynistic humor in this movie, particularly.
Yeah.
A little sprinkling of some racism, but it's like from the Orlando Jones character. So it's like I said, it's some 2001 stuff. There's a Sean William Scott sighting frequently. Remember when he was going to be a thing?
Oh yeah, this was the prime Sean William Scott.
Yes,
in movies,
he kind of annoys the shit out of me. I want to punch his face.
Why?
I don't know why. There's no actual reasoning. At the time, I'm sure I loved the Stifler humor. You know, David Duchovny. Imagine thinking, because this was kind of a big movie. I mean, this had an $80 million budget. At the box office, I think worldwide, took in about $98 million. So it was pretty much a flop because the marketing would have doubled the $80 million. And you can tell, like, with the 2001 technology, because the CG is not bad.
No,
like,
this it's was, not bad at all.
This was supposed to be a blockbuster, you know? And this is directed by Ivan Reitman. I was too young when it came out to know that he's the guy who directed Ghostbusters. I mean, he was a huge, huge director.
And this movie is definitely trying to be that.
Yes.
It's trying to be a Ghostbusters.
Like, they threw in firefighters instead of, like, it's just like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. David Duchovny and Orlando Jones are both playing all three Ghostbusters at the same time.
Yeah. And they even threw Dan Aykroyd in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I even called him up like, hey man, I got something for you. But who would have thought, and clearly they did at the time, that we'd have this, it just cracks me up. David Duchovny and Orlando Jones led blockbuster.
Wild.
Like,
with Julianne Moore.
Yes.
And Sean William Scott.
I haven't seen Orlando Jones work since this movie, but he was like a thing at the time, like very briefly. Well, what else was he in? I'm very curious to see. Let me check.
Orlando Jones. I think he was in The Replacements.
Okay. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Drumline.
Okay. I remember Drumline. Okay.
The Time Machine. Do you remember that?
Yes. I hadn't until you said it, but yes, I remember that movie.
He's apparently in a TV series called Swagger currently. Oh, he's in one episode of a bunch of TV shows. Oh, he was in Abbott Elementary. A lot of people love that show.
Oh shit. He's in Magnolia?
What?
What? As a character named Worm?
I don't recall that.
Whoa.
Sleepy Hollow, the TV series, 2015.
Whatever happened to him?
Well, this is what happened. We're reading it right now. CSI Miami. That's what happened.
Okay.
He's been in nothing of note except for a couple shows that I didn't watch that I know people love. He's in one episode of House. Holy shit, he fell all the way off. New Amsterdam. Ghost Whisperer. One episode of Ghost Whisperer.
Was he a ghost?
With Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Was he a ghost?
I don't know. Did she whisper to him?
Hopefully.
I would imagine.
I would hope so.
Father of the Pride. Not Bride. Mm. Oh, he was a voiced Marine Sergeant in Halo 2. An unnamed character in Halo 2. Hey, he's getting more work than I am. I get it. That's fine. But yeah, Evolution was the last big shot they took at him to headline something, and it didn't work. So they said no more. He was in Bedazzled, that wonderful Brendan Fraser movie.
Oh, that's right. Elizabeth Hurley.
He was in From Dusk Till Dawn 3. I didn't know there was a third one.
They made a third one?
I don't remember him being in Office Space either.
But yeah, he is definitely, like, all four of these actors, really, minus Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore is an incredible
timeless.
Actor.
She's timeless.
And I love me some David Duchovny.
I like David Duchovny too, but he isn't exactly
with
the
you.
Most prolific person. And this was definitely like around the height, I'd say, of his career.
It is. And he fell off until Californication.
Yeah. Yeah. And he still hasn't quite...
Well, he had to go to like
outside of that. He had to go to rehab. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had some issues he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Which are in his character in this movie.
Yes. Yes. Very
a little
much
bit.
So. Very much so.
They just
so.
Run off into the fire truck at the end. What a weird joke.
But I mean, overall, Chris, we talked about my history with the movie. What, do you have any sort of history?
I have no memory of it. I watching this movie today, there was a bunch of lines that I remember from the trailer. Like this trailer, you can tell how much they wanted this to be a huge hit because I saw this trailer. Do you remember back in the day when you popped in a VHS or even a DVD,
of course,
you would have to watch the trailers of the age. Mm-hmm. They don't do that anymore, but that was a thing. And so I can remember watching movies from this era a bunch of times, like The Matrix and shit like that, probably 99, you know, where you would see this trailer over and over and over. And there's like him when he gets the forceps rammed in his ass. That was a huge scene in the trailer. Specifically when he's like, don't take my leg. Don't take my leg. It's going for your testicles.
Take the leg.
That was in the trailer over and over and over. So I had all these nostalgic memories of that. And there are a lot of laughs in this movie. But I can't say like, oh, this is a great movie. You know, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Jen, this is what I think. This is my theory. If this movie had been rated R with a ton of gore, Because they pull back a lot in this movie to try to keep that PG-13 rating so they can get the extra box office. Yes.
Very tame.
Like somebody, a giant alien ape will like grab somebody, throw them off camera instead of ripping them in half, which would make this movie. So a bunch more gore, a bunch of F-bombs, God forbid some nudity, right? This would be
gone too far.
A timeless classic. This would be a huge hit, at least a cult classic. Because I don't think it's that either. I think it's a mostly forgotten movie that does have some laughs. But with the talent behind it, like Ivan Reitman, you know, I think the R rating would have pushed this into greatness. Mm-hmm. And instead, it doesn't go far enough in a lot of the ways that it shines.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this movie is harmless fun, right? It's definitely of the time, and there are some jokes that don't quite, I think, age as gracefully as some others. But I mean, that's all movies that were made back then.
Comedy especially.
Yeah. But there is a charm. I do like the chemistry between Orlando Jones and David Duchovny. I think they make a great pair.
Yeah, like Orlando Jones is good. It's fun to make fun of. Like, who the fuck is that? But like...
Yeah, he's great in this.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's definitely, of the two of them, he's definitely pulling off the Bill Murray and Ghostbusters character way better. I think, but they're both trying to be
audio listeners. I was pausing to consider that because there's some suaveness, goofy suaveness, but suaveness to Bill Murray that I don't think Orlando Jones has.
I think he's got it. I think he's got it. They definitely make him the butt of a lot more jokes.
Yes.
But I think when he's trying to be cool, he can do the Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the whole premise of this is that there are two professors. Orlando's an adjunct professor at community college. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, something Canyon. I have it written down in my notes when we start doing the play-by-play. But the whole premise is that they're, you know, in charge of this huge scientific discovery and the battle to save the planet. And they're professors at a community college, except for Julianne Moore, who's like a legitimate doctor.
She's like head of the CDC or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, David Duchovny's character is a disgraced, you know, very well accomplished military doctor, biologist.
And Sean William Scott's there too.
Yeah. He took some chemistry in high school.
Yeah.
That's what he says during that, where they're all introducing themselves. My name's Wayne. I took some chemistry in high school. And like the governor, Dan Aykroyd, the governor's like, okay.
Okay.
Anyway, I had a lot of fun watching this morning, and especially with the Harry Potter marathon, it was nice to watch like an hour, 40 minute movie.
This was
like, oh, thank God.
This was a fun sort of time capsule just to kind of turn on and be like, ah, yes, this is what the world was in 2001, the frosted tips and all.
I'm really grateful for the Patreon poll.
The shameless head and shoulders plugs. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Well, at the end, they were like, fuck it. You guys know that they paid us to put it in this movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for the Patreon poll, but especially this Discord or not Discord, but patron thing where they have to choose a specific movie by themselves, because they're picking things for the most part that like I have seen and would never think to watch again, or like find the willingness to watch again, but would like to, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like with Evolution, I was like really excited, and it delivered on what I thought it was. And, or like Mystery Men, you know, another one where I was like, oh, cool. Like, I think Galaxy Quest is coming up, right? Did somebody choose that?
No. So Galaxy Quest was the alternate for this movie in case someone else picked Evolution as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I was so excited to watch it. I want to watch Galaxy Quest again.
There are some people who have not chosen their movies yet. Galaxy Quest would be a great
choice. It's funny because on Apple TV, did you have to rent this as well? I did,
yeah.
When it shows movies like similar to that or whatever, the section at the bottom, Galaxy Quest was number one, and that's what made me think of that again. I was like, oh, that's another one I think we're going to get to watch soon.
Galaxy Quest is great. I watched Galaxy Quest in 2020. I think it was right before we rebooted the podcast.
Yeah.
Again, and I was like, that movie holds up.
Yeah. That and
Galaxy Quest is great.
I would like to watch Mars Attacks as an adult because I don't think I appreciated one of Tim Burton's actual good movies. I think he's got like six of his 30.
Name them now, right now, all six.
Big Fish.
Boom.
Edward Scissorhands.
Boom.
Sweeney Todd.
I thought you hated Sweeney Todd.
I did. I watched it for the third time. And loved it.
You turned around.
I actually finished it. Yeah.
All right.
I really appreciated it.
All right.
So we got Big Fish, Sweeney Todd. We got Edward Scissorhands. We got
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, of course. I want to throw in
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow. I do want to throw in Sleepy Hollow. That's five. And the Wednesday Show.
Did he direct every episode of Wednesday?
No, I think he did like four of them. But I mean, I can say confidently, I haven't liked anything he's done in the 21st century except for Big Fish and Sweeney Todd. And Sweeney Todd, I hated until
recently.
Does that mean
you should go back and watch?
I don't think I'm ever going to like, no.
What's that weird?
I didn't watch Big Eyes with Christoph Waltz.
Oh, I forgot about that
one. I didn't watch that. That might be good. I doubt it though.
Well, maybe someone will choose that for us to watch one.
Yeah, that's Galaxy Quest. This is Evolution. Our next film, chosen by one of our patrons for next, and we're going to start trying to knock these all out. So next week, we're going to be watching Midsommar, or Midsommar, if you're not an asshole. everybody but
we're
me.
We're all assholes here, Midsommar.
Directed by, not Ari Aster, but...
The other one.
No, it is Ari Aster. It's not Robert Eggers. It's Ari Aster.
Yeah.
Aha.
You're right.
It's his follow-up to Hereditary. And I bought the, hopefully we can watch it together because I did buy the director's cut of Midsommar from A24. And it's got an extended cut to it. And it's a really nice case. And I'm excited to dive into it. But if not, I'll watch it and have extra shit to talk about.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you guys didn't know, but this scene is actually longer.
Aha. Ha, we got you.
I've never watched the director's cut, so I'm excited for that. But Evolution from 2001, directed by Ivan Reitman, it starts off with a meteor careening towards Earth. And there's a guy jamming through the desert, driving in an old car. It's Sean William Scott, of course, who plays the character of Wayne. He has like a sex doll with him, a blow up doll, I believe.
I thought it was just like a crash dummy that he had dressed up.
It has nipples. You can see him clearly when he's given it CPR.
I have nipples, Chris.
Can you milk me?
Can you milk me?
It's a Meet the Parents reference. I'm almost positive that the joke is it's a sex doll.
Okay.
Or there's something wrong with me. And as soon as I see a mannequin, I'm like, ha, sex doll. he takes it out to a shack in the desert because this whole movie takes place in Arizona. And
Arizona.
He throws the doll in there, sets the shack on fire, waits a second, then dives in to save it. He's training himself for his firefighting exam.
Yeah, he takes it seriously.
He sees the meteor coming down.
She's going to make it. She's going to be
She's
okay.
She's going to be okay. Sees the meteor coming down, notices that it's coming right for him, and dives out of the way. It like launches his car. Like they did a practical effect there.
That was a huge explosion.
This is the $80 million budget. Mm-hmm. And the meteor crashes down, blows his car up, sends it flying off into the air. And that's the end of that scene, pretty much.
I do want to point out real quick that we get, this may not mean anything to you, but I was really struck in the nostalgia heartstrings in my heart because we got the old classic DreamWorks stinger at the beginning where it's the, you get the water in the pond, kids on the moon, you get da, 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 da,
oh, yeah,
da, da,
true. Did you see their new intro that they're doing, this really extended one?
No, do they have like a Marvel style?
Yes.
Jesus.
And it's got
Christ.
Shrek, and it's got How to Train Your Dragon, and like they don't have many IP, but.
Well, DreamWorks Animation still exists. DreamWorks doesn't anymore.
Right.
So I was nostalgic for that logo because
it's a Spielberg company, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So back in the early 2000s, you knew you were watching a good movie when you saw that logo. Typically,
yeah.
There were a lot of really good movies that had that banner to it. So this was like, yeah, I remember being excited about these.
Here we go, baby.
Here we go.
What'd you do, Spielies? What you got for me?
What you got for me?
What he's got is Ethan Suplee. Do you know who that is?
What?
Ethan Suplee.
Who's that?
It's the actor. He's a very large man. He plays Deke.
Okay.
He was from Blue Mountain State, but I know him from his work with Kevin Smith. He was in a lot of Kevin Smith movies, specifically Mallrats.
So many things.
Yeah, he's in a ton of shit. He got famous again for My Name Is Earl. Mm-hmm. With Jason Lee. But then I don't know if you've seen him recently,
he's lost a lot
like 300 pounds and now he's like super muscular, like crazy jacked. It's really an incredible transformation.
He looks great.
I saw him in his old iteration. And I started chuckling like, wow, that's nostalgia for you. So David Duchovny is their professor. He's just giving everybody an A ipso facto, except for Ethan Suplee and his little buddy, who I also recognized from like some early aughts, goof movies.
Michael Bauer is the actor.
Their essay was so dumb and they had the same one that he couldn't bear to give him an A. So he gave him a C+.
Cells are bad.
This is a biology class.
My uncle lives in a cell and he has to read the same boring magazine every day. The end. And David Duchovny could not bring himself to also give them A's despite everyone else in the class just getting what seems to be an automatic A.
Then they high five like, yes.
They were just excited to get the C-.
Holy shit. We got a C. And then we my next note, I stuttered because it says Orlando Jones used to work. Oh, what a dick move. He's also a professor. And I was like, why is this a porno is the note I took? Because Nadine is sitting in there, the student. And the way that it just this whole scene plays out, like obviously she's, I think, using sexual overtones to try to get a better grade out of him. Mm-hmm. And he's actually not having it for the most part. But he is flirting with her and about to have it, I think.
He's a little bit of a scoundrel.
Yes, very much so. We find out later with his goings on with David Duchovny's computer.
Yes.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Among other things.
But so this whole vibe of this scene is super weird.
But it starts off because he gets a phone call about the asteroid. So this is kind of, it sets up, oh, because he's in charge of the geology, like he's a geology professor, right?
Yeah, but he went online and got like, yes, but he got like the USGS United States Geological Society USGS, certification or something like mm-hmm. that. And he uses that like it's a FBI badge for the rest of the movie. So he's excited for that.
But yeah, what was the woman's name?
Her name's Nadine.
Nadine wants to get into nursing school because it will look good
for her.
For a beauty pageant.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the female characters in this movie, very not forward thinking 2001. Allison, the Dr. Reed's character played by Julianne Moore is just a lot of, oh, she's hot jokes, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Ira Kane is the name of David Duchovny's character. Harry Block is the name of Orlando Jones. And
is Ira Kane a famous like literary name? It sounds very.
It sounds like it. I don't think so.
Okay.
But it sounds very fancy. Ira. They go visit the meteor. There's a force majeure joke, which I meant to look up because I know that's a famous movie. I don't know what that means in French. Do you, Steve?
I know the movie Force Majeure is basically about like a husband ditches the family because there's like an avalanche or something, but then they ended up surviving. So it's a lot of like, oh, you left us.
You left us.
You left us.
So was it a reference to the movie or was it a like French phrase?
So I just Googled it. Force majeure is a French term that literally means greater force.
Greater force.
It is related to the concept of an act of God, an event for which no party can be held accountable.
Okay, so that's what they're referencing, act of God. Like, force majeure. And there's about a lot of sex humor, a lot of dick and fart jokes. So it's the streaming things oeuvre here, all in one movie. Like he walks up to the meteorite site and, oh, this is the point of penetration. And like, it's the whole point is that it's, or maybe I'm just an idiot, but I was like,
I do love how they keep kind of making fun of how Wayne, played by Sean William Scott, has the blow-up doll. They're like, did you and the blonde find the asteroid? Like,
yeah.
Just subtle little digs like that.
And downstairs
in the cellar,
80 feet down in the hole, the cops are just posing with the meteorite.
Now that's a hole.
And they're dumb as hell.
I love how you can hear them in the back, like, all right, muscles, do muscles now, muscles.
And then when they kick them out, they're like, hey, the feds are here. The cops are like, well, we got all the photographic evidence we need anyway, you know, point.
Thank you for your service, gentlemen.
And you can see they do some interesting characterization here because Orlando Jones is not subtle. Harry Block is not at all. He's like, get the fuck out of here, idiots. Ira Kane is very diplomatic. He's like, hey, gentlemen, I appreciate all your hard work. You're doing excellent work here. I think we'll take it from, you know, and he's just very, and they're like, oh, thanks, man. For sure. We do mm-hmm. do good work. You know, that's his style. So, and he's a ladies man, but also just diplomatic in general. That's his character.
We do be doing good.
So they take some samples of the growth. The meteor starts bleeding. They've also noticed that there's like a cave moss or something like it on the meteor, or even though it's only been here for a few hours. Very strange. Very strange. Very strange. It's almost like there's a fast evolution going on here. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet.
I'm not a scientist, but I think you might be right.
And then he says a comment. One of the funny lines from Harry in this scene is, am I growing as a person? Am I growing as a Division III women's volleyball coach? Those are the things I ask myself because they're very excited about this find of the century.
He's the most winningest volleyball coach in the state of Arizona.
He is, damn it. Mm-hmm. Arizona.
Sorry, that's a what we do in the shadows show. That's just how we talk in good old Arizona, baby. I'm Jackie Daytona, regular human man.
I know. I still haven't made it past like episode 6, even though I was loving it.
You have to at least watch Jackie Daytona.
The last episode I watched, they were, it was the one where he had all those vagina bushes that he cut.
Oh, yeah. That one's from my mom.
Yeah. That was my mother's. I was like, what? They analyzed the samples. There's some cellular anomalies and replication going on there.
Mm-hmm. At an alarming rate.
And then I wrote in capital letters, 10 base pairs. because David Duchovny says that. I have no idea what that means.
Tenth base pairs.
And then I was vindicated in the next scene when he goes to the volleyball game and tells the geology professor, Harry Block, hey, there was 10 base pairs. And he goes, oh, 10 base pairs. Cool.
Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Same reaction I had. Thank God.
Earth only has four. Earth organisms only have four base pairs.
He's like,
pairs.
These are aliens, man. And then it sets in, right? And I was like, oh, okay.
Because Harry Block is all about the fame. He's in science for the fame and fortune.
He says, do they pay the Nobel Peace Prize on one check like the lottery, or do they pay it out in installments? And then he's like, man, this is serious. There's aliens. This is the find of the millennium. And he's like, I know. This might have various serious potential tax consequences, which I thought was really funny. And then later he says, how many cells do single-celled organisms have?
Oh yeah, because he looks into the microscope and he's like, hey, those aren't single-celled organisms.
How many
anymore.
Cells do single-celled organisms have? They're evolving. That's what he looks back in. They're multi-celled organism now. That's fast. That's like 100, 200 million years of evolution within a day. A
couple hours, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. Certain amount of time. It's not long enough.
Very short. Not millions of years, that's for sure.
And then we cut to, at the end of that scene, when they originally find the meteor, Sean William Scott's character, Wayne, is just really upset. He wants to leave. He's like, hey, my car is fucked up. Will you pay for it? They're like, definitely not. He's like, well, fine. I need to get out. Can I go, please?
My exams
started 7 minutes ago. Yeah. They're way out in the desert, and it's dark, I think, still. We cut to Sean William Scott at his exam. How did he get there on time?
Who says he got there on time? Maybe he
what just, is it? Next round? Maybe
he just showed up in time for the.
I love that he drove in his like exploded car, and he's like got a rope holding the door shut and shit. But he's passed out, almost sleeping on his feet because he was up all night dealing with the meteor stuff. And
he tags himself in the nuts with the hose.
He does not do well. And they,
which was, you know, as a man, who has experienced this phenomenon.
Your nuts getting hit?
Well, the way it gets hit, it's like a gentle tapping. It's not
it's a heavy thing too.
It's a heavy thing, but it's like a pretty gentle, because most movies it's like, bam, like full force. You just got tapped. And let me tell you, sometimes that's worse.
Those taps can crush.
Those taps can, they be worse sometimes.
That can ruin your day.
So I got it.
Happens to everybody, man. You can try again in 6 months. That's what they tell him. And that's his dream, to be a firefighter. Very sad. Very sad.
I love the guy. Like you said, his car's busted. The dude's trying to close the door for him. He's like, no, I got it. I do this now.
I do this now. I just do this. It's fine. And he's just, his lot in life. He's trying his best. And this is where we find out in the next cut that Harry and Ira are community college professors. Very technical stuff goes on there. they're looking up the rock. They go back. I think, is this when they go to pull it with a tow truck and they bring the guys?
Yeah. They bring like the bus of students and they've got some sort of pulley system.
Yeah. And when they go down there, there's lots of growth. There's all kind of ecosystem down there and there's a bunch of wormy worms.
I know that it looks like there's a bunch of mushrooms down here, guys, but don't eat them.
Don't eat them. That's a
college kids,
college drugs joke. But there's a bunch of flatworms down there. And then he picks one up with his like little forceps and it dies as soon as he pulls it out of the fog because they don't survive in the atmosphere, in the oxygen.
Fog, the fog is the ecosystem that it's creating.
We cut back up to Deke and his buddy and he almost falls in the hole and he goes, oh, that was awesome.
That's awesome, man.
yeah, but the oxygen killed the CG worm. It was very sad. So 2 days equals 2 billion years. Of evolution is what he's saying now, because now he's watching them progress as these organisms. The worms are replicating. It's called mitosis. And then Orlando Jones's character says, wait, they don't have sex? And
he Bummer. Says,
they don't have time for sex. And then Nadine, bummer.
Bummer. Professor, your worm is cracking.
I love this next joke, and I was wondering to see if you got it. I'm sure you did. You're a very smart guy. But I don't know how big of a fan you are. I think you're a huge fan of this show. There's a scene where, in the very next line, Harry looks at Ira and he's like, we got to call the government. And Ira says, no government. I know those guys. That's an X-Files joke, right?
Yeah.
Because and his character also knows the government, but I think that specifically was.
Yeah. If you're saying that as David Duchovny.
In 2001.
Yeah. That's 100% an X-Files
this
joke.
Is like right after the movie that flopped for the X-Files, the reboot first time, right? Did you watch the like 2020 X-Files reboot?
God, no.
Really?
No, I haven't seen any of the X-Files movies or the reboot from 2020.
I would like to rewatch the show.
I haven't even finished the show. I think I made it 3 seasons before I had to stop.
That show used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, it's horrifying. I had to stop because I was losing my mind like every Literally. Episode.
You hate aliens. How did you even watch that show? They terrify you.
They're terrifying.
Did this movie scare you?
No. Hard no.
Just wondering.
But no, X-Files drove me nuts because like every other episode, Scully, was that her name?
Yeah, Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, Scully would like be face-palmed by an alien, and at the end of it, she's like, well, I don't know, Mulder.
I'm still skeptical.
I'm a little skeptical. Like, God damn it, that's they were character. There.
It's episodic. It's episodic back then, my friend.
I know.
Same shtick, but set up, payoff.
I was Mulder in that moment where it's like, why can't that happen to me?
We cut back to Sean William Scott. He's like a pool boy. He works at like, what, a hotel?
The pool club.
Oh, the country club. Country club. Country yeah, club. That's right.
The
country
club. You know, the pool club. I clearly have been to country clubs as a rich person.
My wife used to work at one. Terrible people. the worms are there. So they're going through the ground, I guess. We don't know yet at this point. There's ye old skull and crossbones jug. That was kind of funny. Visual gag to let you know that's poison.
I like to think that was just straight bleach.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because he's like, you're going to die, worms. And then the little, I don't know, there's frog like a monster.
Bigger monster in the hot water heater that's clear for some reason.
And then he.
Filter maybe.
And then he tells no one.
I actually love that because he's an hourly employee who hates his job. And that is 100% what you do in that situation. And not my problem.
It's the rich people's problem.
Somebody's going to have to figure this out. It is not I. And yeah, that's it for that one. My note was definite hourly employee move. okay. Slams the door. Back at the site, the guys are going back to the dig. I don't know why, because I thought they were going to take the rock with them, but I guess they didn't. The choppers show up. So there's like helicopters. Sorry, I used cool helicopter lingo there.
Thank you for doing
get
that.
Get to the chopper.
You've been pushing too many pencils.
You guys should have used rescue grenades.
Rescue grenades.
Rescue grenades. Ah. Hello, visit our Predator coverage, by the way. That was an amazing time for Steve and I.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
So the government's there now. There's military everywhere. I wrote down, this is not a nightclub. I don't remember why. That's a good line, though.
Is it because they're trying to get in and the military guy's acting like a bouncer?
I don't remember. Maybe somebody tells them, this is not a nightclub. And I thought that was funny enough to write down, but forgot the context.
you gotta be nice to the white man though, Chris. That's what he says. Very sensitive man, the white man.
You have to know how to talk to the white man. And then the army guy goes, the Ira Kane. This guy had me in diapers for a month. He tries to pull his gun on him. That's how much he hates Ira Kane. Worst month of my life. But then somebody says, you guys can come in, proceed to the command tent for no reason whatsoever. General Woodman is expecting you. And General Woodman is Buffalo Bob. Never a good sign.
He is. Holy shit. Yeah. Wow. I didn't make that connection.
He's also like the police contact in the first, the Fast and the Furious. He's like Paul Walker's handler.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is like in this iteration of him, that's the same guy basically.
Yeah.
But a much better person than the general, but yeah, that's Buffalo Bob, baby. Ira used to work at the Pentagon. That's what we find out in this scene. And they say, we've been tapping my phone. This is how you got here. And he's like, no, we're not the KGB, Ira. We've been monitoring your computer, which I thought was like a funny anti-American joke. Cause they definitely do that. This is even it's actually post Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. So, this is pre.
No, this is pre. This is, this would have been right before then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They definitely are monitoring everything now.
But I love how Harry immediately is like, any photos you might've found on his computer of women featured women who are 18 and older.
Yeah.
And Ty Burrell's like, sure.
What a fucked up little joke.
Yeah, it is fucked up.
Not even like 2001. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was watching this at like 10 a.m. when I was like, ruined my muffin.
Yeah, Ty Burrell's like, sure, buddy, wink. Like, we all know.
What is going on here?
Also, this is the film debut of Ty Burrell.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that guy looks super. That's the guy. I don't know his name is Ty Burrell. I was like, hey, I remember those eyebrows anywhere.
Steve from Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, I recognize those everywhere. And then Julianne Moore, accomplished, amazing, legendary actor, shows up, immediately stumbles because she's a clumsy. That's the whole gag. She's so clumsy. And it's like a sex thing immediately, right? Like, she's wearing a garter belt. And what does he say? Garter belt at a day function? they like see up her dress and stuff. It's right away. I thought it was neat, though, because we got Buffalo Bob there. And Julianne Moore also played Clarice Starling in one of the sequels.
That's true, yeah.
So we got Silence of the Lambs reunion right now.
I didn't know that we were at LambsCon.
And then there's a Mr. Black joke because Harry Block, the general looks at him, he's like, Mr. Block here. And anyway,
Block.
Some easy 2001 stuff going on, right?
This is such an immature joke, but when movies do this type of joke, it makes me chuckle every time because it's the most childish fucking thing. And that's when, like, we got protocol to follow. And David Duchovny grabs his groin and goes, I got your protocol right here.
I wrote, my note was D's protocols.
Yeah.
Yes.
That lizard part of my brain will always find that funny.
Government's taken over. And then that's when he says, you're lucky anyone has ever let you near a science lab again. And then he moons him.
Fruit basket for Russell Woodman.
Happy holidays.
And Julianne Moore's like, ugh.
She thinks it's funny. She laughs. Yeah. Like, that's a nice ass, A.
Yeah.
B. I don't think anyone would ever do it. Like, you can see the whole
fruit basket. That's funny.
It's like, these guys are legends. And they have a Jeep. That's really cool. And then they take the government to civil court, which almost works because Buffalo Bob is like, they work at Glen Canyon. The facilities are garbage. And the judge is like, I went to Glen Canyon.
They weren't garbage when I went there.
Yeah, that's right. Why did I write that acronym down? It's David Duchovny worked for the USAMRID from 94 to 97. I don't know what that means. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Hey, we know now.
I did no extra research, but basically his backstory, his
profile now.
He made an experimental anthrax vaccine. Remember anthrax, Steve?
Yeah.
Remember when everybody was terrified of anthrax showing up in the mail, at least in the States?
Yep.
He made a vaccine administered to 140,000 US soldiers with symptoms that include diarrhea, dizziness, partial facial paralysis,
memory loss,
erectile dysfunction. Bleeding gums.
Mm-hmm.
They called it the Kane madness and lost him his career and everybody hated him. Anyway, they lose that trial. In the hallway on the walk back, Harry looks at Ira and goes, she want to give you some.
All that happened in there, that was foreplay.
Yep.
But then they see that their office has been ransacked. And then Harry says, forget the foreplay. We got screwed.
We just got screwed. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a dumb joke anyway. But if you said fucked, it'd have been slightly funnier.
Yeah.
We need that R rating. I loved at this moment, they're going through everything. They realize they took all the samples and stuff. He goes to check the computer. And it says files not found. That's fine. They have to like easily visually cue in a computer stuff. But then he turns to Harry and goes, the JPEG files, they're all gone. And I was like, oh, all the photos? Yeah. Which photos? Are we talking about the ones earlier?
No one has ever referred to photos as JPEGs right. like that. No one's ever said that
and
before.
Why would they be JPEGs? Like, is it just pictures of the worms and stuff? Yeah, I thought he had like schematics and like spreadsheets and all kinds of, I would imagine, you know?
Well, maybe they just took photos of the spreadsheets and those were the JPEGs. Anyway. They didn't have PDFs back then, I guess.
I thought that was funny. He's like, well, in classic, let's call the cops. They are the cops. That's classic. And then they decide to break into the military installation, impersonating officers. He still had his old colonel outfit. He's like, why do I have to be a private? You get to be a colonel. He says,
I was a colonel. I earned this uniform.
It always throws me off. It's spelled colonel.
Colonel.
Hate it.
Colonel.
It's almost as bad as lieutenant.
Lieutenant. Yeah. Who came up with these titles and who decided how to spell them?
Yeah. We talked about them during the Harry Potter episode.
Colonel. Sorry. I'm thinking, did you ever watch Homestar Runner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You talking about Newgrounds right now?
That was Homestar Runner on Newgrounds?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. No, I just remember the Homestar Runner would say colonel like that.
Colonel.
Colonel de Benedetto.
Chogged with a burning baby.
Hold the line. Sorry.
It's embedded deep in your psyche.
Let's do some Homestar Runner quotes right now, baby.
Let's just do a watch along.
We're in 2001 right now. It's appropriate.
That's true. It's true.
The email. What? The email.
The aliens fly now. So they've evolved again. They got wings. They drank some Red Bull while they were gone. There's a scene where the guys with the tiny little jokes that I love the most in this movie and in everything, really. It's the guys that are coming out of the cave that are in the hazmat suits and they have like little sample boxes that are made to keep aliens in. Orlando Jones' character looks at him and goes, enjoy your lunch. Just real casually because it looks like he's holding a lunchbox and he's kind of dumb. And I just fucking love that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. And then in the background, Allison drops her stuff again.
Yeah, she's real clumsy.
And David Duchovny
says a menace.
That woman is a menace.
Yes. Clearly a menace. Dropped a folder. She's very clumsy.
Can you imagine someone that clumsy? Ugh.
I do love when they cut to the security footage of the lift Orlando Jones is just dancing.
Yeah, and they're like, are they in Delta Shift? Oh, hey, yeah, those guys are like that.
These nocturnal specimen guys do be crazy.
Yeah.
And Dr. Reed notices something's up. There's even more growth down there, which is not a sentence I really should have phrased that way, but I'm talking about the aliens in the hole. Looks like the kitchen from my first apartment is what I think David Duchovny says it. One of them says it. There's shit everywhere. There's like a long leggy boy with two heads. Orlando Jones says, I don't know if he's coming or going.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite jokes in the movie.
I think it's really funny. There's like a giant Venus flytrap. Everything down here seems to be food for something else. Let's stay off the menu. In a movie like this, stuff like that works. But if it took itself too seriously, it would be like the worst movie of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's just enough tongue-in-cheek in the delivery here.
Yeah.
Where it works.
And he's like, snag one. It's not even looking at you. Just grab it.
Come here, my little red lobster.
Yeah. I've seen this movie. The black dude dies first. Good quotes like that.
Yeah.
And then that's when he sees the butt alien you were talking about. Look at that backside. What does that remind you of? Theater in the Round, kind of trunk space you want in a late model car. And then it cuts to Dr. Reed's point of view. She's watching the security camera and realizes that it's them. But I love that it's a couple minutes. They're still going. And the idea is that he's been saying dozens of them. Because when it cuts to her POV on the security footage, you hear him go, kind of rump you'd like to roast. And he's just still going.
And he's doing some weird little dance behind him.
Oh, yeah. Like the thrusting of the hips.
Ira.
But they also call her a humorless ice queen is what Ira's comeback is. She's not interested in sex with me. She's a humorless ice queen. And he's like, yeah, she needs a good humping, you know, stuff like that.
Ugh, gross.
She's listening to all that.
Gross. I don't like that phrase.
Humping?
She needs a good humping.
Oh, yeah. That whole sentence together.
Yeah.
The mosquito lands on Harry Block and goes into his suit and then into him because they turn off the oxygen in the suit to kill it and it crawls in his ass. Mm-hmm. And he feels it. And so then the next, they got him on a gurney and this is the trailer scene, the classic, you know.
Well, before they get in there, the bug's in the suit at first, right? And he's freaking out, there's something in here. And then they turn up the oxygen, they think they've killed it. And there's that moment where, you know,
he's like, you're okay, buddy.
He's so freaking out. And he's like, who's the man? Who's the man? I'm the man. Who's the man? Like, that's something that like my friends and I do to each other. Like, who's my man?
Yeah, they're really close. He's hyping him up, man. He's worried about his little buddy.
Adorable.
But they take him into the hospital or the military version of that. And then they're like, hey, we might have to take the leg. There's a bunch of really good lines here real quick.
Yeah. This is a funny scene.
He's like, we're going to have to take his leg. And then David Duchovny says, is there anything you can do? He thinks he's an athlete. You know what I mean? It's like the tiny, subtle things like that.
And then of course the take the leg.
Take the leg. He's heading for his testicles. Take the leg.
I'll get the lubricant. There's no time for lubricant.
There's always time for lubricant. Cause they have to go in his ass at this point. Don't clench.
And I love that there's that shot of Julianne Moore leaning. You're so brave.
Yeah.
You're so brave. There's like that,
the shot of all three of their faces holding his hands and his facial reactions. And then they're like, we got to go a little deeper. No, you're there.
Almost there.
You're there. And then, of course, it ends with the iconic, I want some ice cream. And Allison Anna says, what flavor? It doesn't matter. It's for my ass.
That's a good scene. It's funny.
We cut back to like the country club. There's a party going on. Sean William Scott's really pissed to be serving drinks there. Oh, now I'm a Hawaiian warrior.
Calls the guy a big fat monkey turd.
Yeah. He's not really that big of a douche. He's a douche, but he's just like, hey, give me something special.
Yeah.
Sean he's not real Scott rude or anything. Almost
has like a psychotic hatred for this dude. Granted, the guy's a bit of a dick, but he's not like.
There was no overt, everyone should hate this guy, Q. He's just going to bang his wife on the green. I assume it's his wife.
I don't think it was.
I mean, she's of his age. Yeah, and, it's
of his age.
Real consensual. Yeah. Whatevs.
They were going to have a nice,
the fourth putting green or whatever.
They were going to have a nice drive on the green, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He gets
a little something on his pants and he's using.
He's singing the Whoopi song, like, we're going to make a Whoopi.
Yeah. He's so excited, the poor guy. But Barry gets eaten. That's his name, Barry. He gets eaten by like a fish monster. But again, if they would have like slung him back and forth in the water, at least like some red floats to the surface, something. We got nothing. He just gets yanked into the water and then she screams and the scene's over.
Something ate Barry.
And then Sean Williams got laughs immediately.
Oh no.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's too bad.
We cut to Ira and Dr. Reed chatting, while Harry's healing. They're in the car again. Then he hurts his butthole when they park because his butthole's really sore. I made sure to write that down.
Well, funny enough, Allison did not turn them into the cops. She just gave them the ice cream. She brings up the fact that she overheard what they were saying about her.
Ice cream and ice queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you don't know everything about me is basically what she tells him.
Yeah. I'm cool. That's the vibe there.
I'm hip.
Yeah. I'm not a menace. The firefighter Wayne's waiting there for Ira and Harry. He thinks they might want to see this corpse. They're the only scientists that he knows for some reason. But first, he's like trying to.
How many scientists do you know, Chris?
None.
So if you have an alien creature, you don't have anybody to show it to?
I'm a douche. I would just call the government. Please take this. Don't ever bother me again.
Snitch.
I would. I'd be like, take that. I don't care what happens. Just leave me alone. Leave me out of it. I'm watching a movie, Evolution 2. It's an alien corpse. It died from a lack of oxygen because I thought, hey, why did they see, they didn't show Sean William Scott hunting this on screen. I was a little mad at first, but it just died in the sand trap because it can't breathe yet.
And everyone else at the golf course agreed Sean William Scott should take it.
Yes. Sean William Scott, you should have this weird specimen that killed Barry.
You're a trustworthy guy.
I didn't even think about that.
This is probably the same tadpole that you saw earlier that evolved.
we cut to a random lady named Jill and her friends Grace and question marks. And they have Jill, you got a bug problem, a really big bug problem. There's an alien in the closet, but Grace is a pushover. There's something pounding on the door and she's like, Grace,
go get it.
Open the door. Why? It's your house, which is a valid question. And then she does open the door and gets bit. By the chicken mouthed, like,
ugly frog dog.
It's like a labyrinth creature, like,
yeah,
the babe with the voodoo. jumps right out and gets her.
It's just a sad looking frog dog monster.
When did you get a dog?
And that's a Ghostbusters line. When did you guys get a dog?
Oh, you're, yeah,
like, who let the dog in here?
It really is.
Yeah,
it's like Jill's the Rick Moranis of this movie.
I don't know about that. Jill does bring a piece at one point to shoot the dog.
She does. That's in her like kitchen junk drawer.
Yeah, what? That's where we all keep our guns.
Yeah,
this is America, Chris.
Later in the mall, they just buy shotguns, and I was like, oh, when guns were even easier to buy in America. Gee, because they're not Walmart anymore. At least, you know, still very easy to get. But in this movie, I was Jesus,
still at Walmart's?
No, Walmart doesn't sell guns anymore.
When did that stop?
A few years ago.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to a Walmart in like 5 years.
It was a big thing. Lucky you.
I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but I shop at Target.
I have to go to get diapers and I can't walk into a Target without spending $300. And I don't know why. So I just stopped going.
Well, it's all those deals. They're always being rolled back.
I'm like, literally, like, I just need a pound of whole bean coffee, some toilet paper. That'd be $268. What the fuck did I buy? I just blacked out and teleported to the register. And now she's got my card. Oh God, I'm leaving.
Oh no.
That's what happens every time. I can't go in there anymore.
Oh no.
What, Legos? You know, I just, whatever. I just hop in my cart.
Legos.
Legos are expensive.
Dude, they are.
I've wanted the Robert Pattinson Batmobile Lego forever. It's like $100. I really, really want it. I just can't justify it. And eventually it'll be like $500 because they don't make it anymore. And yeah, I'll be mad.
When they go out of print, they like the Stranger Things Lego set. I tried to buy that over the summer. And that's
Know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. It's like, it's the buyer's house. But it's two parts where it's like suspended and then there's like a buyer's house that's upside down. Ooh. And Will and the Demogorgon are there. But I tried to buy that over the summer because I was like, oh, it's Stranger Things is coming out. I want to do this Lego set. But because it's out of print now, it's like $700.
Oh, yeah, you're toast.
It's ridiculous. I think it was like maybe $200 when it first came out.
Dang, even then.
Yeah.
I want that $100 Batmobile. I'm going to splurge on myself sometime soon.
Treat yourself.
Jill's packing. That's what a note that I wrote. She goes to shoot it, but the alien dies from breathing again.
It got too far out of the closet.
It's a bunch of like World of Worlds shit going on early on. There's more clumsy Dr. Reed. I don't remember why, but she trips or falls or something. And then this is when I found out her name was Allison. I wrote Allison in real big print. I was so happy with myself. and then... that's when he tries to convince her to shut down the alien study. So David Duchovny tries to tell her, hey, I think this is something that's going to get crazy real fast. It's going to spread too fast. You got to try to talk to General Woodman. Tell him to shut this down. She's like, I'll talk to him. I think you're overreacting, though. And then he says, do you think you could ever be attracted to me? In a David Duchovny way, where she's like, yes, immediately. But she says,
hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I forget what she says. Just like his name or something?
Sure.
And she's like, Ira, or something like that.
Ira.
And he's like, ooh, I got her.
Damn.
And we cut back to Harry and the firefighter at Waffle House, I think. It's something like a Waffle House.
Yeah. What's Waffle House adjacent?
God, I could go for some Waffle House right now. I hate how Sean William Scott.
Maybe a Shoney's?
Sure. Anything. I love breakfast. I hate how Sean William Scott holds his fork. It fucking drives me nuts.
How does he hold it? I did not make
it. It's one of those. I don't know. You at home may hold your fork this way, but it's like this grip with like the thumb, like just you're all over the fork. You're just like, whoa.
That's intense.
I hate it.
That's intense.
People do that. Like the, you know what I'm talking about, Steve?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
I'm more of a dainty.
I am too. Like
three finger guy.
I hold my fork like it's chopsticks.
Yeah. That's the proper way. I think. I think there's two grips, dainty reverse, dainty over the top.
Yep.
But that like childish shovel thing, hate it. Mm-hmm. It fits his character. I just didn't know if you noticed and hated it as well.
I did not notice it at all. I was too taken aback by the conversation he's having with Wayne, where he's like, hey, Wayne, you're the women's volleyball coach.
Do you ever get to see him take showers?
See him in the showers? And Wayne's Harry's like, see him. Sometimes I take showers with him.
Right. Which I think the implication or the idea of this scene is that that's not true and he's acting cool. Mm-hmm. But is it cool? That's the question we now ask.
Yeah, I have questions about this. But we already know he probably has underage porn on David Duchovny's computer.
Mm. He said he didn't.
Sure, buddy.
He said he didn't.
Ty Burrell's face said everything I needed to know.
I think it says more about his character too, that he was like, like, oh, like I don't.
I made a copy of myself.
Wow. Anyway, 2001, ladies and gentlemen.
But also, so
Sarah Silverman pops up.
Who is played by Sarah Silverman, is there. Her name is Denise.
I love Sarah Silverman.
Apparently she has all of David Duchovny's shirts.
At least three or four of them.
She's currently wearing one. And she's...
She's now dating one of the cops that was taking pictures at the meteor in the beginning, too.
The mustache
cop. He's about to make detective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really big.
She's really
proud
of him.
And he's like, maybe you can detect where she took all my shirts.
Yeah.
Why is this scene in the movie?
It's supposed to characterize David Duchovny as a ladies' man. Like, oh, where he banged so many chicks that we ran into one right here. I think, you know, because during this scene, there's a moment where Harry looks at Sean William Scott and he's like,
they just throw themselves at him.
Yeah. Well, when she takes her shirt off. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
But like, did we need to get that?
No, we didn't.
Like, is
need
that
it.
Important to his?
I appreciated
at all?
We got a Sarah Silverman cameo that I did not remember at all, and was like, yes. That's it. There's a funny line where when the cop's leaving, he gets the animal attack call. Oh, that's why we need that scene as well, because we get to Sean William Scott gets to add his obscure talent where he knows like the emergency numbers and stuff. Mm. That's an animal attack.
Because he's been in school.
There's a funny line where she's like, good luck, honey. He's like, all right, babe, I got this. You got the check, right? And it's really funny because she's trying to make David Duchovny jealous. Mm-hmm. But then her guy's like, you got the check, right? And it's implied that like He's not as cool as David Duchovny.
Yeah. What about this? Let me throw something at you.
Throw it at me, baby.
What if Sarah Silverman played Allison instead of Julianne Moore? That and then, like, if you made Sarah Silverman that character and then kind of had the movie more rated R, do you think that would be funnier? Because then I feel like Sarah Silverman would play this character a little bit more, you know.
Yes, it would be funnier. Absolutely.
It would be funnier.
A, she's a comedian.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore, God love her, is not.
Yeah.
And
but also, I feel like her type of humor would pair well with this.
If you were going to put her in the movie for more than 3 minutes, it would have to be rated R.
Yeah. No, for sure. I just thought it was an interesting, like, why is the scene in here? Okay. But yeah, they show up at the doghouse. I love when they like walk up to the house and Wayne goes, I'm going to go conduct a parameter check.
And he like winks, like so excited to throw that term.
Parameter check.
And while out there, he finds like a giant field of dead gargantuan aliens, scary looking dragon boys.
Great Guga Mooga.
Yeah. That was in the trailer too, I think. Because there's another line too, maybe Guga Mooga made me think of that. But when it does the mitosis, when it hawks up the loogie and he goes, it's like a big loogie, the Sean William Scott. Like that was definitely in the trailer
that's
as well.
A big loogie.
Yeah.
But Mazel Tov, it's a boy. Yeah, that's the trailer.
Yeah. But the aliens have adapted, essentially, is what they're finding out here. And they're very close to being, they're still can't breathe oxygen. And then as he says that, as they witness, they watch the birth of the first one that can breathe the oxygen. Luckily it doesn't hurt them. It just flies away because none of them make a move. And then I said, 2001, when it was even easier to buy guns, because they go to the mall after the dragon monster flies into a local mall. They go in there after it and they go to one of the random stores and just load up on shotguns. And then he's like, do you know how to use that thing? And Harry Block's like, just because I'm a school teacher doesn't make me a pussy.
I just love the idea. So like in Ghostbusters, These scientists, they invent things to take out the ghosts because they're scientists.
Yes.
In this movie, they're like, shotguns. Let's just fucking buy a gun and shoot this thing.
Makes sense. Guns will probably work, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but the dragon monster kind of abducts a shoplifter.
Yeah, she's in there shoplifting, talking smack to somebody banging on the door. Isn't that a voice actor? Is that the one that plays the chick from Bob's Burgers, the famous, like the one that does like 19 different famous cartoon voices?
I don't think that's Chris. Are you thinking about Kristen Shaw?
I think so. Yeah.
It's not Kristen Shaw. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
I just thought that was a left field guess from 2001. Like, oh my God, wouldn't that be cool?
I kind of want to see, like, do you think she's billed as the shoplifter?
It would have to be shoplifter or something.
See if we can find out an answer to this question. I don't know. We got a lot of students here, a lot of government aides, bartenders. There's Tina.
Oh, if they gave her a name but didn't say it, that'd be stupid.
It looks like they might have because I don't see a shoplifter.
Oh, Denise is her name, is it not? No, Denise is Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to bring up this Tina. I have a feeling that it might be her because she's uncredited. And if it is, her name is Erin Carufel.
She ain't nobody. Carufel. She ain't nobody, huh?
Yeah.
Especially uncredited. Yeah. Dang. Well, I liked your performance, Erin. Good job.
Yeah.
But there's a couple more jokes. I thought she got 8, but then later she's just flying around. That's why I was like, God damn, PG-13. But there's, he's like, where are we going to find a giant nasty bird in a department store? And then he says, lingerie. And he's like, no, the alien. And he says, yeah, lingerie. stuff like that, right?
Yep.
And then Sean William Scott hops on a microphone because they can't find the giant dragon somehow. Caw-caw! Tookie-tookie! And then
it's a George of the Jungle thing, I think.
I think we've established that caw-caw, tookie-tookie doesn't work. It's Orlando Jones.
Man, you're embarrassing me.
Then he starts singing. I don't know what the song is, but Steve
you
probably does.
You are so beautiful to me.
Who's that? Who sings that? The original.
I don't know.
Don't say Little Rascals. Because that is not the right answer. That's what Andy would say too. Why are some of the people still just chilling at the mall? Have you noticed in the background?
There's so many people there.
Dragons of our... Oh, yeah. This is back when people shopped at malls. But not just that. Like, they've already had... They're carrying guns. Maybe this is before a lot of the mass shootings went down, I guess. And like, they're more used to dragons. Because, I mean, there's literally somebody at the counter talking casually to somebody at the counter.
Yeah.
in the background. And I thought that was interesting.
At one point, Ira's like, Harry, step aside. I'm going to shoot him, referring to Wayne. Because he starts singing.
Yeah. And then Wayne's like, no, I got, or no, Harry says, no, stand down. I'm going to shoot him myself.
Yeah.
They both want to shoot him. I get it. They hate the singing that much. Then there's like a really cool sequence, kind of, where he has to like spear the girl, like Goldberg style.
Oh, she destroys her.
Right?
That woman would be fucking dead. Minimally, at least concussed with a spinal injury.
Just, and he does actually, David Duchovny shoots the bird thing. And she's like, I'll never shoplift again. Because she still thinks it's punishment for shoplifting. And this reminded me of a real life experience I had. I went whitewater rafting in West Virginia. I've gone a few times. We used to love it, but all of us almost died. And you can die. Like somebody had died the week before on the New River. It's because we used to go specifically to what they call the gully when the water is like crazy. It's like level 5 rapids. It's really crazy. It's a lot more fun. Anyway, I went with a big group of people, like 15 or 20 people, all from AA. So we all have checkered pasts, right? There's a particular guy who's known as a pretty terrible person in how he conducts himself, right? Like he's an avid gambler, really raucous and like, shut the fuck up. You're a dud. Like he's just an abrasive person, buys a lot of prostitutes, which I have nothing categorically against sex work at all, except that in this country, because it's not legal, you're usually contributing to some sort of seedy thing in someone's life, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's that kind of person. We all almost die. We fall off the raft. We go jumbling against rocks and stuff. We almost drown. Jesus. They collect all of us into different boats and stuff. And we all get back on this rock to catch our breath. My shoes are gone. It was crazy. Danny is the guy's name. He's over there like, I got to start being nicer to people, was the first thing he said. And we all started dying laughing like, A, that's not going to happen, but B, that's hilarious that that's what you're thinking right now. Like, he just had this whole life experience. It reminded me of that when she said that. I pictured Danny. But then they do this really cool triple shotgun cock. Gotta like that. And then they play Wild Cherry.
Play that funky music, white boy.
I like that scene. It was like this early aughts action movie.
Who doesn't like that song?
That's play that fucking music, white boy. Bum, 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 bum. I like funk.
Play that funky music, right?
Especially with a Jeep, shotguns, aliens. It's perfect. And then there's a news montage where people start getting hip to the fact that there's aliens amok because, you know, suburbs and malls have been attacked. Now it's everybody's problem. and then we get to meet the governor. I don't know why I got Italian. We get to meet the governor.
The governor.
And it's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
2 months until we're extinct. Doesn't make any sense. Well, she's talking about the acceleration.
We'll lose Glen Canyon in 3 days, and then it'll continue growing. And in 2 months, the U.S. will also fall.
And we'll be extinct, she says.
We'll be extinct.
Because all of humanity is America.
She didn't say anything wrong in my eyes.
That's right. We won the war. And then they waltz in the middle of this conversation with the general and the governor. They wouldn't get that far. But sure, it's David Duchovny. He talked his way in.
Be honest. You're happy to see us.
And that's where we get the scene where like, hey, I'm a director of the science program in Glen Canyon. And he's like, hey, I'm an adjunct professor of geology. Hi, I'm Wayne Gray. I took some chemistry in high school. But
the general's blaming them for the quote unquote containment issue.
He is. He's avidly lying, saying that that's what happened.
He's really making a Walter Peck of himself.
This scene is ridiculous because in the background, Julianne Moore is going, this is bullshit, when everybody else is up in arms about it. And it just seemed like she wanted to throw in, like, I don't know. It was funny to me.
I'm here too.
But his big idea, the general's big idea, is to drop napalm on the whole infected area. And they find out they've evolved into primates.
Yeah.
Those are actually some pretty creepy looking fucking alien monkeys.
I thought the makeup and costuming for those things were very effective. They looked like creepy, weird, like jacked up Smurfs. Like,
yes,
I loved it.
Very effective makeup.
They start methodically breaking the camera so they can't view what they're seeing.
And then when the last camera breaks, Dan Aykroyd goes, that can't be good.
That can't be good.
Definitely not good, Dan.
No.
And then they run to the main thing. They hit the elevator. Then like the monkeys are coming up the elevator, right? The alien apes, and everybody's got their M16s ready. And the governor, by the way, he's the governor. He stands right in the middle of the room and somebody tries to grab him. I think his Secret Service. And he's like, no, I want to see this damn thing. No, you don't. No. That's not a good idea for you to do. But he wants to see it. And then there's no gore. There's no shooting whatsoever until Sean William Scott fires three shots. Literally none of the M16s even fire. It's just like the
because they might shoot the governor.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The one that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. I did notice that there's that like lieutenant guy with the big like Buddy Holly glasses who at one point he's like, everyone, you get behind me. I'll protect you. And then the apes pick him up and throw him down the hole.
You never see him again.
Never see him again. I'm assumingly he's dead.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah.
But I want to see some blood. Mm-hmm. There will be blood.
I just like that the Buddy Holly, the quote unquote nerd in the military, was the most heroic one.
He's actually a pretty well-known actor too, or like a character actor I've seen a lot, mm-hmm. the little nerdy guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't say a single thing other than I've seen his face a lot. I also love, there's some really interesting idioms you could say in this movie. Did you notice hell-blown creozoids from Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. Yeah.
These damn hell-blown creozoids.
It's a great one.
And he's so angry after seeing all this that he gives him the full carte blanche to drop a bunch of napalm on these aliens, right? And then the general's super hyped about that, says, get the hell out of here. Allison steals their samples and stuff. She's like, hey, if we survive this, you guys are going to get the credit for this discovery.
Yeah.
And she's part of the crew now. She got the samples. You can make more money in the private sector anyway.
There was a really weird moment where her last kind of interaction with the general before, and she like takes off and Tyburn's like, you know, as a woman who's angry, that usually means, like, why are they always trying to describe why Julianne Moore is like, oh, thing. She's a woman.
It's a thing that has not entirely gone away.
Yeah.
But it was definitely more so in this era. Like in the next scene, she falls into Wayne's lap because she's clumsy. And so she's like, looks like she's blowing him or whatever. Mm. And he's like, what's up? And then
I'm kind of with him.
That's, you know, and David Duchovny's smiling. No, you're not. Yeah. You're your own person.
You guys, this is maybe the fourth time you've been in the same room together.
Right. And then we get some early aughts heavy metal.
Drop the bombshell. Get up.
It's Power Man 5000. That's Rob Zombie's brother.
Oh, that's his brother?
Yeah.
I did not know they were related.
I don't know anything about 80s music because I know weird shit about Power Man 5000.
There you go.
That's his younger brother.
Drop the bombshell.
That's a good song.
It'll get you hyped.
Did, 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 did.
Yeah, everyone's evacuating the town, but the college kids are partying their asses off.
And as you do. Mm-hmm. And then back in the school, in the community college, he's in there talking to the cells, the first sample that he got. He's like, oh, how do I beat you or whatever? It hasn't evolved yet. They're trying to figure out why. He's like, oh, maybe. Oh, and then Orlando Bloom's smoking a cigarette. That's right. And he throws a match really far, like not safe at all indoors. Why are you smoking in the school, first off? I guess it's an apocalyptic situation in your mind.
Yeah, why not?
I guess he's going for the sink, but nowhere near that. It lands in the Petri dish.
He's athletic, Chris.
That's true. It lands in the Petri dish and immediately hyper evolves the stuff. So they're like, holy shit, the heat from the Earth's atmosphere. And I actually bought this for the dumb movie that it is. I was like, this is good. In space, in the vacuum of space, the evolution was stalled on these creatures. But once it hit Earth's atmosphere, and you know, there's like heat. Fire when meteors come into the Earth's atmosphere, mm-hmm. kicked off the evolution, baby. So the napalm is actually going to accelerate the badness. Uh-oh. Which there was a line when he said, hey, we shouldn't drop napalm on it. We have no idea what that's going to do at a cellular level. David Duchovny here.
He was right.
David Duchovny speaking. So they try to call General Woodman. He says he's not available. Even his assistant is like, you piece of shit.
You motherfucker.
This is the fate of America we're talking about, which is the world.
Yep.
Jeez.
You're really Walter Pecking this situation right mm-hmm. now.
We cut back to David Duchovny. He's just shooting rubber bands at an alien. That's what he's doing. And she's wearing a periodic table shirt, thank God. And he does some quick finger jabbing and realizes selenium might be the arsenic to these aliens.
Yeah, because basically he looked at like, we're carbon-based life forms. If you make a little knights in chess move, make uh-huh. that little L, mm-hmm. you come to
very
arsenic.
Nice reference, Steve.
And so he does
Steve
the same
was on
thing.
The chess team.
I was the worst player. That's actually true.
You're the worst of the best, Steve.
Thanks. the number one player on the chess team had like 3,000 points. I had negative 3,000 points.
Really?
Yeah.
You were like me and President's Day Jeopardy.
Yep.
Yep, it was rough. It was rough.
But yeah, selenium is the answer. Luckily, the college bros show up and they know that selenium is in Head and Shoulders.
The main ingredient in Head and Shoulders is selenium sulfide.
Yeah.
Because they're which, flakyless hair.
Fun fact, at the time this movie came out, it was not the main ingredient, but they were about to release it. So that's why they said to use this.
Line. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Super shameless plug.
Yep.
How many millions of the budget did they pay for?
Probably 75% of this movie. And they had a great return on their investment, I'm sure.
And there's like an actual ad at the end of this movie. Anyway, he says,
did he call the frat boys the Donalds? I could have swore I heard him call them good job Donalds, but that's not either of their names.
No, one of them's name is Deke. I didn't hear that.
Okay. He calls them something.
All I remember is she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, take your shirt off and I'll show you. And the guys are like, yes.
Yeah. Pure fuel.
Pure fuel. And the next scene, they go to get 500 gallons of Head and Shoulders. What they say they can get, and you think they're going to go, I thought they were going to steal from a factory, get some giant barrels of Head and Shoulders or something.
No, they cleaned out every Walgreens.
They literally just buy a bunch of tiny bottles and pour them in the fire truck. How long that would have taken?
That would have been so long. You know how much that would have cost them?
That shit doesn't even come out easily. You gotta like, you never been in the shower?
Yeah, that would take forever.
Hit the bottom and get the last juice of that for months, baby.
Yep.
Yep. I'm bald now, so I don't have to deal with that pain anymore. One bottle at a time. Anyway, and she wants to say one last thing, but I don't know if I should say it. And he's like, just do it. We're gonna die. I would have rocked your world. Is what she says. What is that line?
Have you ever wanted to say that to someone?
Like, no.
Hey, I would have rocked
you. I have wanted to say geology is not an exact science.
But you refrained.
I don't have the context. I've never had the opportunity. I can't just randomly say that. I also want to say everyone is wearing jackets in Arizona.
Arizona.
I have been to Arizona. It is very hot.
It's so hot.
I think the desert does get cold at night, but like this is broad.
During the day, it's ridiculously hot in Arizona.
Did you see that fucking coat that Dan Aykroyd was wearing on top of his suit?
Oh,
it's like fur trimmed.
No, thank you.
I'm like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
Who did the costume department? Anyway, just thought I would point that out.
Off.
You would. Oh, and then he asked for hot chocolate. I almost lost my mind.
Give me a hot chocolate.
Give me spy glasses and a hot chocolate.
I don't really understand how the power structures in our government work sometimes, but I'm pretty sure a state governor can't boss around a military general.
Yeah, he's in his turf. Yes, he can. If you're in Arizona.
Dan Aykroyd as the governor is running around, like bossing around this military general as if he's the president of the goddamn United States.
He's the president of Arizona.
Mm. Can you imagine?
It's a republic, Steve.
Can you imagine Mike DeWine doing this to anybody, let alone a general?
Yes. It's how COVID-19 was handled.
Well,
in Ohio.
You're not right. You're not wrong.
It was Buffalo Bob and Dan Aykroyd running the entire show.
Give me a
show.
Hot chocolate.
And some spy glasses. There's a blue monkey. They go down. What is my notes? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was trying to roll it off. I have, hold on. Blue monkey.
Blue monkey.
It grows.
It grows.
Great flaming whore balls.
Oh, yeah.
Created a kaiju mitosis.
Okay, so I think I can translate this. The team, they go into the cave,
uh-huh.
And that's where they see like the blue monkeys kind of arrive.
And they go with the fire hose, right?
Yeah, they go with the fire hose because they're going to spray the source, the asteroid with the Head and Shoulders.
Which they should have already been doing. There's no reason.
The monkeys arrive, but then the napalm goes off. The general goes early with his attack. The fire causes the mitosis and like the growth to kind of take over everything, including the monkeys. So they leave. And when the giant monster that has kind of coagulated like into everything, when that explodes out of the earth, Dan Aykroyd yells, whore balls.
Great flaming whore balls.
Yeah.
Why did he yell that?
I don't know. It's Dan Aykroyd. He does what he wants.
They decide to drive the fire truck to the kaiju to help stop it. What does the steering wheel on top do? Because Julianne Moore's driving, and then you see Sean Williams Scott on top.
It helps the back wheels turn.
So they have to steer together?
Because fire trucks are so big. When
really?
You have to take tight turns, it helps. I'm pretty sure that's what they're for.
They turn left, it turns left harder?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just wondering. I was like, he's got his own steering. Was that like a pretend one?
I'm pretty sure that's what they're for. Right, beep, in beep. If I'm wrong.
He's just up there with pedals that don't work and shit. Like, beep, beep.
I'm helping. I also am a driver.
And they go to the asshole of the beast to shove the hose up it. And I love that Harry Block, Orlando Jones' character, has like a personal vendetta against this monster and wants to be the one that goes in its asshole because they went in his asshole.
I got some payback to deliver.
I got a score to settle.
It looks like they're going to administer a jumbo enema.
And all it has to do is lay down and it would kill them. Yep. But that's okay. It's not the most unbelievable thing that's going on right now.
right.
I did laugh. It got a huge, an actual large LOL, probably the third or fourth one of the whole movie. When the ladder was going up and Orlando Bloom was going into the asshole a little bit and he goes, stop.
Yeah. I gotta say, they really make Orlando Jones makes a real meal out of his scene up there with the asshole. There are like three or four really good jokes of him in there.
You won't believe what I've seen in there.
You won't believe what I've seen in there.
That was a really good one.
Give me back my friend, you big sphincter. Don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah, it sucks him up into the asshole. You can't imagine what I've seen in there. But he sprays it all up in there. It explodes. And then the next scene, there's a news anchor who's like eradicated using the formula, and the governor too. The alien race has been eradicated using the formula devised by these. Dude, no time has passed. They're still wearing the fire truck outfits. Like, this just happened and you like created a, okay.
Hey, media moves fast, baby. You gotta get ahead of that story.
It does. And then Julianne Moore and David Duchovny go to have sex in the fire truck instead of getting their accolades.
Her world's about, she's about to rock his world.
He's giving her the Kane madness.
Oh, God. Jesus.
But Sean William Scott did
be. David Duchovny's whole backstory about being a somewhat corrupt scientist who ruined the lives of a bunch of military soldiers was all set up for a joke of getting laid in a fire truck. Mm-hmm.
Given the old Kane madness. I don't even know what that means. But they did make Wayne a firefighter. He got to be an honorary firefighter.
You know, good for him.
Probably not safe for the city of Glen Canyon, but every blow up doll in the city will be safe from fire.
She's going to make it.
And then there's a Head and Shoulders commercial, an actual Head and Shoulders commercial that's played as a joke, but that's clearly what that is.
Yep.
But it fits because you would think they'd take the brand deals at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And then we get a really underknown Buck Cherry song to serenade us throughout the credits, which I thought was funny. Like, that's the band that did, ow, you're crazy, bitch, but if I'm so good, I'm on top of it. Remember that?
Yep.
Scratches up and down my back and get me right on. That's their only famous song. It was not that song. I think this is before that song came out, 2001.
Possibly, yeah.
So that's interesting.
I did look up some IMDb trivia about this movie.
Okay.
And there are a couple things in here that I find very funny.
Drop it upon me.
I'll start off with the one that makes me laugh, and that is, during the lengthy shooting in Page, Arizona, Dan Aykroyd entertained the local folk by carting guests at a bar, unofficially greeting people at Walmart.
He was carting them? Like, let me see your ID.
And visiting locals for a cup of coffee in their homes. Can you imagine going to Walmart and there's Dan Aykroyd like with a little blue vest, like, welcome to Walmart. Buy some of my vodka, please. It's in the skull glass.
And then saying, may I come back to your house for coffee?
I will make it. I know that's what you were going to ask.
I was in Coneheads.
He was.
Sometimes I wanna.
According to IMDb, David Duchovny turned down a role in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, to appear in this movie.
Good choice.
Do you believe that? I press X to doubt.
Yeah, but also it was still the right choice. I'm sure he got paid more to helm this film than he would have to be a cameo in the worst of the bad Star Wars movies.
Here's what I was talking about earlier. At the time the film was made, no Head and Shoulders product contained selenium sulfide, but the company used the film to introduce their selenium product, which was released when the film came out.
So shameless that they're like, you guys are dumb. You don't know anything. How do you know that? Notice there's not a single flake in our hair ever. That's how we know.
That's how. Do you want to know some alternate casting that was considered?
Yeah.
So Bill Murray, can you guess what role he was considered for?
I would have to guess. I want to guess Ira, but it's probably too obvious.
He's considered for the role of the governor.
So he's like the other one.
The other one, yeah. Let's see. Michael J. Fox was considered for the role of Wayne.
Really?
Can you imagine that?
No.
That's weird. That's a bizarre one. Will Smith was considered for the role of Harry Block. I'll get back to that one. Jennifer Aniston was considered for the role of Allison. Robbie Coltrane was considered for the role of General Woodman. That's an interesting idea.
You're a scientist.
We're going to napalm them.
He would have been really good because he's menacing. Probably, honestly, I would have liked it better with Will Smith and Robbie Coltrane. I think it would have been a better movie, but I definitely would have liked Jennifer. Did you say Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Anybody, honestly, Julianne Moore is incredible, but she's just not.
Yeah.
It wasn't right for me here. I mean, she's done other comedic stuff. Isn't she in, she's in something else really goofy.
I think we might have talked about it before, because I think we might have said the same thing, that we like Julianne Moore, but not in comedies.
Yes. That's how I feel.
I can't remember what that was, but I'm pretty sure we've talked about that on the show.
Really?
It's ringing. I'm getting some sort of like remembrance.
Like Tinkly Bell, like Harry Potter style?
Yeah. I'd have to figure out what that was. Oh, was it the action movie Kingsman? Was it that?
No.
She was the bad guy in Kingsman?
Is she in Kingsman?
She's in Kingsman 2. She's the
Golden Circle, the bad one?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one at all. She is. Yeah. She doesn't comedic for me.
Yeah.
She doesn't comedy for me.
But I mean, she's a hell of an actress.
Hell of an actor.
Like, I put her in a drama. Sold.
Dramatizing.
Boom. And this is kind of interesting. This will be the last one I share. David Duchovny's character name, Ira, is a Caesar Sapphire of his character name in The X-Files, Fox. I don't know what a Caesar Sapphire
is. What the fuck is a Caesar Sapphire?
Caesar Cypher.
Cypher. A Caesar. Yeah.
Let me look that up. Caesar Cypher. Ooh, there's a decoder and everything. Wow.
What's a Caesar Cypher? It sounds
in
like a salad.
In cryptology, a Caesar Cypher is known as also known as the Caesar Cypher, the Shift Cypher, Caesar's Code, or Caesar Shift is one of the simplest and most widely known encryption techniques. Oh, so I guess it's just like E actually equals the letter many spaces.
F.
Yeah.
Like maybe the L shape that he used on the periodic table on the alphabet.
And yeah. Oh yeah. The L shape. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Probably that. So it's Fox.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway.
Fox Mulder.
Yeah. That's some IMDb.
Interesting. Caesar Cypher. Excuse me, Miss Waitress. I'd like to order a Caesar Cypher with extra weight. The dressing's already on. It's tossed in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get some ranch anyway?
Yeah. Damn. Is buttermilk
okay? Oh, this is like Flo.
That's Flo. That's me. Is buttermilk okay?
Oh, I love buttermilk.
Okay.
It's straight from butter cows.
I'll get that for you in 2 shakes of a split.
Yeah, there's no butter way to eat it, I think.
Nope. I like mine with patchouli oil. I don't know why that's the thing I thought of.
Patchouli oil. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you get to watch Evolution with us. Always watch them beforehand. Yeah. It's more fun.
Thank you to Jen for suggesting this
movie. Wonderful choice. I had a blast.
What a fun little trip down memory lane.
Memory lane. A Caesar Cypher of my brain, if you will.
Exactly.
Next week, we're going to be watching Goblet of Fire, as well as Midsummer or Midsommar. So tune in for that. That's all the time we have for right now. I love you so very much. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. Here's all the new patrons that we got in November.
New.
In the Try Before You Deny, man, category, we have Emmy.
Thank you, Emmy.
New to Marty B's VIP section, we have Carl DiMartino and Sean Kerrigan.
Oh, we know where the party happens in the VIP section.
Mm-hmm. In the Chocolate Pudding producers, we have Laura Hardwick, Adam Jett, Jane McMillan, Katie, Alexandra Cordova.
Good luck.
Silja Hiljetskatchim. Nailed it. Very sorry. That's obviously Icelandic, maybe?
Maybe.
Or Norwegian, maybe?
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry for butchering that, but I tried really hard. I think it's ruder to not try. That's my opinion. Yeah,
try before you deny.
Yes, try before you deny. What if Silja Hiljetskatchim is a little girl, man? Cheyenne Bragg, Aaron Carr, Christy Ellens, Aaron, Toby Sands, Keenan Chu, Victor Weaver, Tina Gomez, SJ Dog 21, Kaylin Swift, Sharon Linden, Josh Seidel, Zoe Schubert, Andrew Diaz, Jada Haley, Nick and Aaron B.
Thank you, Nick and Aaron B. and everyone else you said. I don't know why I specifically said their name.
Mm-hmm. And in the Friends Don't Lie producers, we have Megan Stolarski, April Palmore Sullivan.
Thank you so much, and Friends Don't Lie.
And we've got some people who upgraded. What? Newest to the Try Before You Deny producers is Jeanette Murphy.
Hey.
And recently joining Marty B's VIP section is Jacob Schlier and Trisha Bueller.
This section is open to all.
Bueller. Trisha Bueller. I'm sure she's never heard that joke.
Never at all.
No, never. There's no way in hell. No one's ever been that clever.
Now she's going to hear it 4 times this month at least.
So thank you to everybody. Woo!
Woo!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.